Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for all your blessings towards us this past year of 2012. Lord, we pray your presence among us in power and in strength throughout 2013. Lord, we pray your Spirit will indwell each one of us, giving us encouragement, giving us wisdom, and giving a unity of spirit to this congregation, that your word will go out from this place and light up the lives and the paths of this community around us. Lord, we give you thanks for hearing our prayers for healing in the past. Lord, we give you thanks for what you're doing in Barb's life. And again, we lift up to you our dear brother, Al, recovering now from hip surgery. Lord, we pray that that healing will be quick and he will soon be restored to full health. Lord, we lift up to you Roy's friend, Lorna Rumney, who is sick. Lord, we pray your blessing upon her. We pray your word of healing will touch her body and restore her to health. Lord, we pray for our brother Roy as he cares for his friends when they are sick. We pray you'll give him your comfort. Now, in the quietness of this moment, in this place, each one of us lift up our own prayers, our own supplications to our Heavenly Father, for he is present among us and he longs to hear from his children. Lord, we with grateful hearts give you thanks for hearing our prayers this morning. Lord, I pray for the pouring out of your Holy Spirit upon us, upon each one of us, each of our days throughout this year. And on our church, may there be unity of spirit and hope and joy for the future. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we come to the end of yet another Christmas season. And the trees should all be down by now, by the way. They're not. Yes, they're supposed to be down before Epiphany. Know the rules. Today is Epiphany. It's an old word. We don't use it in conversation in our normal course of life. But it comes from a Greek word that means to manifest. And it's the showing forth of Jesus. And in particular, the showing of Jesus to the Gentiles, which occurred very early on. In fact, just after his birth, when the Magi, the wise men, came from the east, were Gentiles. And they came to worship Jesus. And the story of the wise men is part of our Christmas story. But there are a few clarifications that I think that we need to have. We've just sung We Three Kings, and they weren't kings, and we don't know that there were three of them. So we have a little problem there. It's not a big problem. We allow sort of poetic license to songwriters and people who just need to create a rhythm and a tempo in a song. But we don't know that there were three of them. In fact, the scripture doesn't say how many there were. And kings is not really a right translation of the word. The word is magi, and they are the wise men, the astrologers, the sign seekers that came from the Persian, Median Persian Empire. And they're referenced back in the book of Daniel as well. So there's some history there to that. But nonetheless, these wise men did come to visit Jesus. And they came after his birth. And we have the record in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. So if you want to read along with me, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Matthew, New Testament, first book. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. That is the reading of God's word for us today. This announcement when the Magi arrived, Scripture tells us that it shocked them. Herod was disturbed and all Jerusalem. You don't normally go up to a king and tell him you've come to visit the new king. There's a kind of an implication there. And in those days, it implied an overthrow. As I was preparing for this, it suddenly shocked me that Herod would be disturbed, and I wonder if he quickly texted his wife and said, "Have you had a baby boy recently that I don't know about?" Because that's the only way a new king would arrive, would if the new king had a son, and Herod clearly did not. So indeed he was disturbed, and as this news would run about Jerusalem very, very quickly, these wise guys from the east have come in and talking about a new king. So no wonder Jerusalem was very, very disturbed. But why did they come? They said it very, very clearly. "We've come to worship him." So these strangers, as I said before, these were Gentiles, they're from the east, they're outside of the Jewish domain, the Roman domain, they've come from some other province or from some other country, and they've said they've come to worship him. Now they must have set out sometime previously, this wasn't a 1 or 2 day journey, this may have been weeks, possibly months, that they were coming to Jerusalem, following this star, following this celestial sign, a miraculous sign that had been given to them, that they decided to follow. And they must have been spent a lot of time in preparation for this journey. These journeys in those days, in that part of the world, were not safe. You would have to bring quite an entourage with you. You'd have to bring supplies. You have to bring armed people with you to protect you. So it would be quite an entourage. And they had to prepare for that. And they also had to prepare for the event of meeting the king. And they brought three items as gifts for this king. As our carol actually gets it right, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, as it records in the scripture. And our carol tells us, gold I bring to crown him again. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone-cold tomb. What kind of words are these for a little baby boy? These wise men knew who they were going to visit. They knew the event that was going to take place, and they came properly prepared for their time of worship. As they had said in verse 2, this was a king, for they came seeking the one who had been born king of the Jews. And so they brought gold, an appropriate gift for a king. In our own day, Queen Elizabeth, wherever she goes visiting, or wherever a dignitary comes and visits her, they always bring lavish gifts. When kings and queens meet, presidents and prime ministers meet, they bring gifts, and they're not just candy bar or something from Walmart. They're lavish, nation-to-nation kinds of gifts. And so it was very appropriate that these wise men coming from afar to visit a king brought gold. But he was more than a king, because they brought incense, frankincense. They knew that this baby boy was God. Frankincense was used in ancient worship, sometimes used in some parts of the Christian church today, as a symbol of prayer rising to God. The smoke from the incense rises up, and that's the prayers of the people rising up to God. And they brought incense to this baby boy because they knew he was God. And they also brought this mysterious substance called myrrh, which is an embalming substance for treating dead bodies, for burial. Why would you bring that gift to a baby boy? Because they knew that this baby boy was born to die. Not like all of us who are born and will die, but this baby boy was not going to but die a natural death. This baby boy would be a sacrifice. Our hymn goes on or closes with these words. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. We pick up the story of myrrh again in the latter part of John's Gospel, John chapter 9, when Joseph of Arimathea asks Pilate for Jesus' body after he had died on the cross. And Nicodemus comes with him, and he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. Myrrh and aloes scent and embalm the body of Jesus. So these wise men came, they brought gold for a king, they brought incense for a god, and they brought myrrh for the burial of a sacrifice. And these are all symbols of just who this baby boy was and is. The Magi knew who they were going to visit. And they knew they were going to worship. And they brought appropriate things for that worship. What about us? When we come to worship, do we prepare ourselves properly? I know if you've got a young family, I remember it well, it's a bit of a rush in the morning. It's a bit of a rush. We've got little children. But do we prepare ourselves for this time, this 1 hour of the week that we set apart for God, to be together as brothers and sisters in the Lord? Do we set apart any time to prepare ourselves? Do we bring our gold? If we claim him as king, shouldn't we be supporting his kingdom? The building up of his kingdom? And we do, with our tithes and our offerings. And we bless the kingdom work that goes on out of this church. Because he is our king and we claim him as king, we bring him our gold. And we bring it willingly, and we bring it generously, and we bring it with great joy. But do we come to worship him as God? Are we fully aware that when Jesus came, he was God in the flesh, the very God of heaven, the Spirit that we invoked this morning to be present with us, the very Spirit of God came to earth as a baby boy. Jesus is God. God came as Jesus. God with us, Emmanuel, the hymn says. And Jesus came with a purpose. And that season of Lent and Good Friday and Easter will soon be upon us. He came to die. God steps out of heaven, takes on life, human life, as a baby boy, for the purpose of growing up to be a sacrifice. And we gather at the manger scene around Christmas, we sing of the holy night and of the baby boy, but let's not lose sight of his purpose. Jesus came to be the sacrifice for our sins and for the sin of the world, the sin of unbelief. And when we come to worship, are we readying our hearts to worship him for that? Will we worship Jesus because he was the sacrifice for our sins? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. King, God, and sacrifice. And our only suitable response is worship. And not just on Sunday mornings. We need to be setting aside time throughout our days for pausing, pulling out the earbuds, switching off the TV, getting quiet and alone with God to offer him words of worship, because he is our God. We need to be the kinds of worshipers God is seeking, true worshipers, supporting the kingdom with our givings, a true worshiper recognizing Jesus as God in the flesh and as the only way for salvation. No other name given under heaven by which man can be saved. By faith alone, Jesus is the only way. And a true worshiper receives him as Savior through his atoning sacrifice on the cross. And as true worshipers, we can rejoice at the resurrection when that time comes in a few weeks' time. So as we start our new year together, as a worshiping congregation, let's not just leave the baby in the manger. Let's receive Christ as King, God, and sacrifice, and let's worship him. Let us pray. Father God, let us not be distracted by all the other symbols of Christmas, but let us embrace the true meaning of Christmas, your gift to the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will be saved. Lord, my prayer is that each one of us will receive Jesus Christ anew today. We'll resolve this year to be people who will worship, people who will pray, people who will set aside time to be with their Lord. Lord, hear our prayer this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. One of our acts of worship, of course, is when we gather around the Lord's table. He invites each one of us, each one of his children, to come to the table together. So let us come to the table this morning for the Lord's Supper. Just for those of you who do have a wheat allergy, all of our communion bread is gluten-free and will continue to be so. When we gather at this table, as we do our first Sunday of every month, we gather with our Christian brothers and sisters all around the world. This is the central theme, the central element, the common element of the Christian church is gathering at the Lord's table. And all are welcome. All who call Jesus Lord are welcome at this table. So if you're a guest with us today or a visitor with us today and you call Jesus Lord and Savior, you are welcome to join us at this table, and we welcome. But before we come, Scripture admonishes us to come with clean hearts. Come having repented of our sins and prepared ourselves to receive the Lord in the elements of the bread and the cup. So let us take a few moments this morning to examine our hearts and confess to the Lord our sins, our yet unconfessed sins, so we can come to this table with a pure heart and a clear mind. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for being a God who hears our prayers and who hears our confession of our sins and is quick to forgive, slow to anger, but quick to forgive. We thank you for hearing our confessions this morning. We thank you for forgiving us through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The night before Jesus died, he was with his disciples at supper. And when supper was ended, he took a piece of the bread and he broke the bread and he gave it to them saying, "Take this and eat, all of you. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us eat this bread together, remembering that Christ died for you. When supper was ended, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you for the remission of your sins." Let us drink this cup together, remembering that Christ's blood was shed for us, and be thankful. Let us close our time together this morning. Please join us downstairs after our time together for some coffee and some refreshments and some fellowship. Now may the Lord richly bless you each and every day of this year. May his light shine into your heart. May the truth of his word illuminate your path. May you come to know him as King, God, and sacrifice, and worship him all your days. Go in peace this morning.